to the Beef Watch Podcast. I'm Aaron Berger, a Nebraska Extension educator. For today's Beef Watch Podcast, we're going to discuss an article from the June issue of the Beef Watch newsletter titled Reducing Pasture Fire Risk. To have a conversation about this, I'm joined today by the co-authors, Ben Beckman and Ryan Benjamin, who are both Nebraska Extension educators. Thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having us, Aaron.
Happy to be here, Aaron.
Well, guys, as we talk about the topic today, this is one that unfortunately is going to continue to be an issue, I think, for us as we move on in through the summer. And that is, how do we address and minimize the risk of pasture fire? And one of the things you talk about in this article is just some key things producers can do to reduce the risk as they think about going out and working on fence, checking cattle, things like that. Walk through some of the principles that maybe folks need to remind themselves of in light of the real volatile conditions we continue to have across Nebraska, even here in June, with dry pastures.
Yeah, so I think one of the things that we were talking about before we started recording was kind of the fuel load out there. Because we never really had any snow this winter, a lot of our grass fields that typically would kind of be pushed down onto the ground is still standing vertical and very easily ignited. So one of the big things that we talk about is vehicle traffic through the pasture and just it being so dry and still having that tall standing fuel. It's pretty easy to start a fire with vehicles. And so one of the main themes of the article is talking about, you know, the different types of vehicles and considering what to drive. Pickups tend to have lower exhaust systems and ones that get quite warm due to catalytic converters or regen on some of these diesel pickups. And so that exhaust system is very much hot enough to start a fire. We've seen it happen several times here where I'm at. And so tending to use more side-by-sides and four-wheelers can be helpful. A lot of times four-wheelers and side-by-sides, that exhaust system is, you know, tucked up a little higher in the body. It's a little easier to avoid some of the tall fuels with a smaller vehicle. Those are some of the things we talk about throughout the article. I guess I'll let Ben talk a little bit more about ATVs and some of the maintenance issues there.
Yeah, and I think as we were discussing this and going through, the point got brought up, we were what vehicles are best, and even if we're using an ATV or a UTV, you know, there's an opportunity a lot of different places for dead material and grass and seeds and things to get caught up in the undercarriage or in the radiator or things like that, especially not this year with how dry it's been. But, you know, when the needle and thread grass really starts to go to seed, that always seems like it gets everywhere and caught up in things. And just an awareness of blowing those things out, cleaning things out, so that way we don't have a mass of dead plant material sitting there just ready to ignite. And I think that was kind of the whole point with most of this article, Aaron, was just to give a list of things for folks to think through and walk through. You know, a lot of it we're probably already aware of and already doing a lot of these practices, but just to raise that awareness that, you know, we've got some really dry conditions. You know, even though we've had some rain in spots across the state, there's still a lot that is very dry. And so when we're having to work in these landscapes, that risk of having a spark get out of control is really real. And so how can we lessen that risk, or how can we be prepared, have some things with us in case something does happen?
Speak a little more to that, Ben, because I think this is one of those things I was just thinking as we're having the conversation. You know, this is the time of year when a lot of high school students, college students are maybe back, or we've got some people hired for the summer. Maybe they're not familiar with some of the principles that you both talked about. Having a 10-15 minute conversation about good pasture driving, I guess, in terms of where do you park, where do you not park, you know, carrying some things with you. If a fire should start, what do you do? I guess speak to that a little bit, because I think, you know, just a conversation and some things that can help you prep if something should happen, a quick rapid response could make a minor thing just be a minor thing before it exploded into something bigger.
No, that's a really great point, Aaron. And Jacob Harvey, who's the ranch manager out at the UNL Barta Brothers Ranch, was also one of our co-authors on this article. And we had some discussions just, you know, he gets a lot of, like you said, college students that are coming out to that operation to do research during the summer that don't always have that background. And so some of where this was coming down through too is how can we make a comprehensive list? So, you know, when you're having somebody on your operation that maybe isn't used to ranching, isn't used to working in dry conditions like this, or hasn't done it before, or maybe is just, a little bit younger in age and isn't thinking through everything quite as clearly, just ready to go out and get work done, being able to have these conversations and have it all in one place. And so, yeah, just talking through, like Ryan said, tall grass, if it's dry, avoid that if possible. Driving in areas where it's green, where we've got shorter vegetation, so we don't have that risk of things brushing up against hot equipment. Where do we park on a place that's going to have shorter vegetation, green vegetation, if there's a bare patch? Just some of those practices, keeping an eye on a vehicle after we've driven a little bit, just being aware of, how long we've driven sometimes even can make a big difference. If we just drove a mile to go check a pasture, that exhaust still has, the risk of being hot, but it's not going to be as hot as if we drove that vehicle for 30 miles to, town and back, and then went to go check a pasture after that. Just being aware of some of those things and trying to limit that risk. And then, as you mentioned, Aaron, and I'll let Ryan jump in on this, just having some tools and some stuff ready to jump into action if there is a spark or something that we can handle it right away.
Yeah, having some basic tools like you mentioned, Ben, is really good practice, man. One person with a shovel early on can do a whole lot of good in preventing a large fire. The other thing that we really encourage producers to do is carry like a one of those big silver, like 2.5 gallon water can fire extinguishers. You can get them fairly affordable and they're reusable, which is the big reason that I like them. A lot of guys carry them on the tractor, on the baler or whatnot, but having one in your pickup too is a good idea. When a fire's small, it's pretty easy to get it stopped, but the bigger it gets, the more it requires. And so if something does start and you think it's something that's more than you can take care of, just call the fire department quick. I'm on the volunteer fire department up here, and we would much rather you call us and turn us around if you get it under control, than just having a huge incident and spending a lot of time trying to catch up and get that thing stopped. So, calling the fire department early and then carry some stuff with you that you can put in some work and possibly prevent something yourself. One of the things to remember is these rural areas, the fire districts are huge and the fire department might be, more than 30 minutes away from you. So having some ability to start at least on your own is very helpful.
Let's talk about weather conditions a little bit, because I think we know that depending on what's going on with humidity, wind, fuels, all those things can really impact risk. And so, again, sometimes we don't have an option, but there are often times of the day when we know there's probably less risk from weather conditions in terms of checking pastures and than there is other times. Speak to that a little bit and maybe some awareness that we can use to help us think about timing of when we might be going out and doing some things.
So the National Weather Service issues what they call red flag days. And you may have noticed this spring in just watching the weather that it seems like we've had a lot more of them than we used to. Part of that is the National Weather Service is kind of adjusting their criteria a little bit because they've found that maybe they should be having a few more red flag days than the old criteria used to really warrant. And so there's been quite a bit of conversation in the state about what's the criteria that should be used. So a red flag day is just a day of, extreme fire weather. And so it's one of those days that, boy, if you can avoid being out in the pasture and doing any sort of job that might cause a spark or, some sort of ignition, that's a good day to just, go to town and do something in town or, work in the shop or whatnot, because if we get an ignition, there's high potential for rapid fire spread. If you do have to do something on those days, early in the morning when the humidity is still up a little bit is the best time. And in general, just on these drier, warmer days, that's going to be true. The afternoon, well, in the fire world, we kind of call it the witching hour, but somewhere around 2 o'clock is where, the fine fuels are dried out and the humidity is going to continue to drop for a few more hours and we'll really see fire behavior increase in the afternoon. And so that's kind of the best time to avoid doing any risky any risky things out in pastures or really anywhere that could cause a fire. And then of course wind plays into that. We've had a lot of wind this spring. It's one of the windier springs we've had, I think, just looking at some of the data. And so trying to avoid really windy days, obviously on the in the plains here with our fine fuels and our topography, wind is one of the largest drivers of fire behavior.
Ben, Ryan, anything else on this topic you'd like to talk about today?
I just encourage folks, Aaron, to if you've got a little bit of time to look over, because there's a lot of things in that article that we go over. You know, safety chains up so they don't drag along the road and spark. You know, if you're out cutting, you know, things with a chainsaw, there's always a risk that there's a hidden nail or a, you know, staple in something, and just a lot of different things to be thinking about preventing risk side of things. And then we also touch a little bit on just making sure that your property and your ranch is in a good place. So if something does happen, you're set to save the things and create some barriers around important parts of your operation. So, you know, making sure trees are trimmed away from buildings and things like that. Weed piles are cleaned up. The hay yard is mowed down, and we don't have a bunch of, you know, just dry material and tall grass or weeds or things up around that, you know, if something does catch, it's going to be a lot easier to prevent fire from spreading into those areas. And we've got some other great resources on the Beef Watch website, you know, diving into that a little bit further, but just encourage folks to sit down and think through some of these things a little bit more if you haven't already.
Yeah, one thing I would add too, Aaron, just from when we wrote this to now, we've had quite a bit more thunderstorms, and you know it's a good idea if we have some lightning close by the next day, just keep your eyes out for smoke. That's it. Like I said, we didn't touch on it, but we're in the season now where lightning strikes are going to be one of the big drivers of fires across the state. So just keep your head on a swivel and keep an eye out for smoke after lightning storms.
Ben, Ryan, thanks for putting this together. Again, I think for most folks, this is things they know, but I think it's just good to remind ourselves. And I think also, as you were saying, even before we started today, Ryan, the weather conditions right now are not typical for June. We're usually in a wetter scenario. This is something we often don't think about till the fall of the year, a lot of times after we've got a lot of growth. But with as dry and warm as this winter has been and not much precip this spring, we got quite a bit of standing fuels in places, and so we're having to think differently. So seasonally, I think we often don't think about fire in June as far as a pasture fire, but this is something this year that we do need to think about. And so appreciate you putting this together and for your time and efforts here.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, for more information on the article we talked about in today's Beef Watch podcast, you can find this at beef.unl.edu. The title of the article: Reducing Pasture Fire Risk.